Hey there, and welcome to the first edition of the Poor Man's Spoiler Podcast. Hopefully, this will be the first of many as we continue to bring you new and exciting content relating to anything and everything in the world of entertainment. My name is Alex Lancaster, and I'm the founder and lead contributor at Poor Man's Spoiler. Joining me today is my good friend slash real-world arch-nemesis, Chad Teague. Today, we're taking a look at some of our most anticipated films of 2019. Thank you, Chad, for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're going to dive right into this, starting with one of my top anticipated films, which is Shazam. Shazam is the next entry in the DC Extended Universe, which began technically with Man of Steel and kind of grew with Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, and Aquaman. It's going to be exciting to see where they go from here. Aquaman was definitely a step up, and hopefully Wonder Woman 2 is successful as well and is as good as the first one was. Shazam is directed by David F. Sandberg, who directed the horror film Lights Out, and it stars Zach Levi as the title character. Shazam is a superhero that young Billy Batson, who will be played by Asher Angel, turns into when he says the word Shazam and pretty much gets powers like Superman, super strong, can fly, invincibility, all that type of stuff. It also has Mark Strong, who was seen as Sinestro in the Green Lantern movie, and plenty of other things.
Let's not talk about that.
So yeah, that's one that I'm very excited about, and we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that after Aquaman that is a fitting follow-up and that the DC movies get better. I've always kind of leaned more towards the DC side. So, I mean, I love the Marvel films. I love them completely, but when it comes to comics, I have always loved the DC stuff more. So I'm excited to see that finally come together and grow.
Yeah, I think Shazam is definitely going to be interesting. I think we saw a tonal shift start of Justice League, getting more towards the side of, I don't want to say cheesy, but campy, you know, not to the point of like 1960s Batman campy, but a little bit more lighthearted, easing up on the dark stuff. And if you read my review, which is currently posted on Poor Man's Spoilers,
yes,
for Aquaman, I really dug that film. Wasn't a perfect movie, but visually stunning, great film to go see in IMAX. That's currently in the theaters. We're going to move on to one of my most anticipated films of the year, which is Jon Favreau's Lion King. We have seen Jon Favreau remake Jungle Book most recently, and I was a big fan of that film. I thought that the take was original, but it also stayed true to the overall story of Mowgli, and another visually impressive film that was a heck of a lot better than I was anticipating.
Oh, yeah.
So my overall thoughts on Lion King going into it is that it is jam-packed with talented actors, voice actors. We got Donald Glover playing Simba. There's Beyonce playing Nala. Chiwetel Ejiofor is going to be taking on the role of Scar. And how awesome is this? You've got James Earl Jones reprising his role as Mufasa. And that's just naming a few of the amazing people that are going to be involved in this movie.
Yeah. When it comes to Mufasa, I feel like you couldn't have not gone with James Earl Jones. If he's still around, you have to go with him.
Right. Maybe if there hadn't been the controversy with Morgan Freeman, he would have been a solid choice as well. But you've got to stick with the classic. And speaking of classic, this will be 25 years after the release of arguably the most iconic Disney animated film in 1994 is The Lion King. The trailer that came out, it's suggesting that it's going to be pretty much a beat-for-beat remake. I'm hoping that's not the case. I hope they find a way to keep the same through lines as the original film, but also find a way to make it different, make it a little bit original. Beauty and the Beast was pretty much a shot-for-shot remake, and I think that that's a disappointment, honestly. So I'm hoping that Lion King can switch it up a little bit, but also find a way to become a legend in its own right.
Yeah.
And there's been a little bit of the controversy of, is it really live action? Or I've seen the phrasing CGI reimagining. Who cares? I'm just looking forward to the film. I think it's going to be good. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really excited about that. And it's going to make an insane amount of money.
I mean, God, yeah.
Beauty and the Beast made over $1 billion. And I'm sure this is going to be even bigger than that. So it's going to be insane, but it's going to be great. And I trust Jon Favreau, too. So that's another big aspect of it. Speaking of Disney, Toy Story 4 is coming out in June, and I'm incredibly excited about that film. I know there are some people who are skeptical. You know, when you look at it, the original trilogy for the Toy Story films was fantastic, and it ended in such a perfect way. But they have released things with the Toy Story crew since then, shorts and TV specials, and I've really enjoyed those, and I've liked seeing these characters again. And so I'm excited to see these characters again on the big screen. There's also been a lot of talk that the story is going to revolve around them finding Bo Peep, and I'm looking forward to that too, because I think that's a good way of taking the story forward. And I think it's got potential. I really do. And I trust Pixar. I know it's the fourth film, but they've, aside from Cars 2, I'd say they've done a good job with just about every film that they've put out there. And even I'm willing to fight for Cars 3. I actually didn't mind that film, and I think it would have been a lot more successful if it had come out as the sequel to Cars 2.
Definitely looking forward to Toy Story. I'm hoping they find a way to keep it fresh. You know, there's been the criticism of Disney making these live-action remakes of classic cartoons. You know, at this point, bringing back Toy Story, hopefully they're just finding a way to bring a beloved classic to a future generation, just like they are in The Lion King. But just hope that it's not going to be more of the same. So we'll see what happens there. The next movie that I have on my list is Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is coming out in May. It's starring Millie Bobby Brown, Vera Farmiga, and Kyle Chandler. This film, I feel like it has pretty big potential to fail. I'm hoping that it does not. The first film was critically well-regarded overall. My personal problem with it was that it focused too much on the human characters and we didn't get enough Godzilla. They kind of teased us for the majority of the film, and while the last scene with Godzilla and the other Mutos was pretty awesome to see that radioactive beam, you know, blow that one's head off, that was pretty cool, but it took so long to get there. And I think this movie is going to be the perfect answer to that criticism because it's jam-packed with monsters and legendary monsters. It's got Mothra in there. I'm curious to see how they can balance all of that. There are some big-name actors in there, so hopefully they can find a way to, you know, jump back and forth between the monster stuff and the drama and the horror and sci-fi elements. So the trailer is promising more monsters. I'm all up for it. And the biggest thing is I hope this is a huge success because I'm looking forward to the King Kong crossover, which is going to be the next follow-up. It's going to be interesting to see how Godzilla goes from handling 10 or so monsters to handling just one. But that one that he's going to be facing, Lancaster, that's a pretty iconic monster in his own right, King Kong.
Yeah, and I have the same reservations about it. I'm hoping that it is more focused on Godzilla and the other monsters, but I think, I don't know, we'll see how it turns out. Another aspect that I'm really not sure about, there's been rumors that Charles Dance, who is on Game of Thrones, is playing an older version of Tom Hiddleston's character from Kong Skull Island to help tie things together.
That's pretty cool.
I think that'd be interesting, but that almost makes me worry that they are going to focus too much on people and that they're going to try to string things along through the people and not as much through the monsters, and it should be about the monsters.
You're right. We'll see. Tywin Lannister was a pretty iconic character. Sad whenever he left the show, and there's a lot of talented people in here. Millie Bobby Brown, I think she's going to be a star. She's still so young. I think this is a chance for her to venture out, so I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Next film on our list is Dark Phoenix, which is the next film in the X-Men franchise. The last, potentially, X-Men film before the characters join into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because
oh my god, I can't Disney, wait for that.
Disney is buying Fox, and they will get the rights to the X-Men and all of their characters, including Deadpool, as well as the Fantastic Four and all their characters. And so this is kind of the end of a big era. I mean, the first X-Men film came out in 2000 and was kind of the big start to the superhero boom. Because, yeah, you had the Batman and Superman films before that, but there's just a difference when the X-Men films came out because it was more grounded in real life and it showed that you could just do more with these characters. And it was taken more seriously in terms of the source material and stuff, whereas the Batman stuff especially had gotten way into campiness and everything. But it's going to be interesting to see how this ends. And I hope it does well. I hope it is the version of the story that we deserve, that fans have wanted all these years. Because there we saw how they messed up with X-Men 3, The Last Stand. And I really hope that this is good, that it turns out well. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, my only main fear is that Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones fame, she just really hasn't impressed me too much. I've watched her grow up from that bratty young Stark girl in Game of Thrones, and as she's gotten older, some may argue that the last season of Game of Thrones, she was able to branch out a little bit more, show some more depth, but there's just been nothing that I've seen her in overall that makes me think she can carry a movie, and with her playing Phoenix, Jean Grey in this film, she's got some work to do. Unless they go the route where she's almost going to be like a mythical character who doesn't have a lot of speaking lines and a lot of the action revolves around her instead of her being the main dialogue source.
Yeah.
I think that might be a way that they can get around that. Or who knows? She might prove me wrong. I hope she does prove me wrong.
Hopefully.
So my next big film that I'm anticipating is Hellboy, which is coming out in April and stars another Stranger Things actor in David Harbour. It's being directed by Neil Marshall, and he's an interesting choice. He's directed a couple of episodes of Netflix's Lost in Space. He's directed some Game of Thrones, and he also directed an episode of Westworld. He's no stranger to sci-fi and fantasy. He also directed 2005's The Descent. So I think that this is going to be his chance to prove himself in the mainscape of film. And I was a really big fan of the first Hellboy that starred Ron Perlman, directed by Guillermo del Toro. I got to say that in terms of the makeup that we've seen in the trailers, you know, it's interesting. The YouTube trailer, I thought maybe that wasn't finished, some of the footage that they showed in that, because yeah. I saw another trailer for it when we went to go see Aquaman, and the Hellboy makeup looked so much better, and I thought the CGI looked a lot better too. So I'm wondering if maybe there was a leak in there and they decided, screw it, let's go ahead and put out a not quite finished trailer. Yeah. Because I saw a lot of people online that were like, what is this? It looks cheesy. It looks, you know, cheap. You know, Hellboy is not just about Hellboy. It's all the other characters that are around him. I'm curious to see what they can do. I'm hoping that this is going to be a success. I'm hoping that David Harbour is a mainstay in Hollywood as we go forward. There was some controversy with Guillermo del Toro's failed attempt at a Hellboy 3. So I think if this movie does not do well, Guillermo del Toro might be able to say, hey, should have stuck with me. But I think it's going to do well. We'll see.
That's definitely my biggest reservation again with this one, is that Guillermo del Toro isn't part of it. I love him so much. I love all of his work, and I really would have loved to see a third Hellboy film with him and Ron Perlman working on it and everything. But I love David Harbour. I really liked the trailer for this one. It really impressed me. I had been unsure about this film up until I saw that trailer, and that trailer completely sold me on it. I'm game, and I'm excited for this. So we'll see how that turns out. Kind of going back to X-Men and another Stranger Things link, New Mutants is the next one on our list, and Charlie Heaton from Stranger Things is going to be in that. Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones and Anya Taylor-Joy, as well as Antonio Banderas, which I'm not exactly sure who Antonio Banderas is playing. They haven't revealed that yet.
Himself.
Maybe. The film is being directed by Josh Boone, who last thing he directed was Fault in Our Stars, which seems weird for this because New Mutants is taking much more of like a horror approach, which I really love. I love that 20th Century Fox said, hey, let's branch out a bit. Logan did well. Deadpool did well. Let's not be afraid to make a New Mutants film that is a horror film, essentially. And I hope that Disney and Marvel Cinematic Universe take some cues for that. I know Marvel says all the time, oh, this film was a, you know, it was a spy thriller, or it was this or that, but that's not, they say that, but it doesn't feel as much like that as I feel like the stuff at 20th Century Fox has with X-Men. Like, that is, Logan really felt like a Western, like a modern Western and everything, and much more so than I feel like the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff leans into some of, like, political thriller and stuff like that. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about it being stuck in development hell for as long as it has. It is pretty interesting, though, that Arya Stark, the other sister, is helming an X-Men film of her own.
Yeah.
So, small world. We got a lot of Stranger Things and a lot of Game of Thrones on our list so far.
Yeah.
So, the next one I got to talk about is Spider-Man Far From Home, which is coming out in July, starring Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's being directed by John Watts. He also directed Homecoming. I'm super interested in this film because, for one, obviously we know the last time we saw Spider-Man. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Infinity War, but at this point you have no excuse. It's on Netflix, people. Go watch it. But
exactly.
Spider-Man, along with a lot of our other heroes, was dusted by Thanos. So time will tell. Yeah. Time will tell how he was brought back along with the others. But just going from such a, you know, intergalactic threat in Avengers Infinity War and Thanos, this villain that Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be portraying is Mysterio. This is his first film introduction. Mysterio in the comics is a failed actor / stuntman who relies on special effects and movie magic, practical effects, those sort of things. He really doesn't have any powers. He's a villain that is going to be completely different in scale from what Spider-Man most recently faced. So we'll have to see how they can kind of turn that back. But, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of great Spidey stuff that we've gotten in the past few years since the debacle of the, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, I think those really dropped the ball. But even the PlayStation 4, the Sony Spider-Man that came out this year, if you haven't had a chance to check that out, you really should. It's got a great story, and it's just a fun game. And
it is.
Mysterio, for some of you that aren't as in tune with the comics, is one of the members of Sinister Six. And we've already seen a couple of members of the Sinister Six be introduced. We've had Vulture, and then there was a sneak peek that the character Scorpion was in prison with Vulture there towards the end.
So the end credits scene of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Correct, yes. So,
and then Shocker was part of Vulture's crew, too.
Absolutely. And so we'll have to see how that turns out, if they're going to continue with this Sinister Six route. That could be a really awesome movie. Hopefully it turns out to be a little bit better than Suicide Squad. But yeah, I'm super pumped for Spider-Man.
I'm really excited, too, and I'm really excited for Mysterio. Mysterio was always one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, and I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's really proved himself in the past few years with movies like Nightcrawler and just everything that he's been doing. His stuff on Broadway, too. I think he's shown us that he's very much an underrated actor, and he deserves our attention. The next film on our list is Knives Out, it doesn't have a release date as of yet, but it is coming from director Rian Johnson, who last did The Last Jedi. And I love all of Rian Johnson's work. I love Looper and, like I said, Last Jedi. And this cast is amazing. Chris Evans, Daniel Craig, Michael Shannon, Jamie Lee Curtis, Lakeith Stanfield, Christopher Plummer. Any one of those actors, you say that they're in a movie, and you're sold on it. And the fact that you have all of them and Rian Johnson, and it's a murder mystery, like, it's, I think this is going to be a great film. I, like, without knowing the plot, without knowing, you know, seeing a single image for the film whatsoever, I'm already incredibly excited for this film. There's saying that it's probably going to come out at the end of 2019, so I wonder if it's going to try to go for some of the awards and everything for next season. But we'll see. I'm pumped for it. And we'll see how things go.
Yeah. So the next one I want to talk about also does not have a release date at this time, and that is The Irishman, which is going to be directed by Martin Scorsese. It's going to star Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel. Anybody that knows me, most kids grow up with Disney movies. I grew up with the movie Mob. Films like Casino, Goodfellas, those are some of my all-time favorite movies. Scorsese's a great director, and he's been a great director for a hell of a long time. He directed Wolf of Wall Street most recently, and this movie is going to be a mob hitman recalling his possible involvement in the murder of Jimmy Hoffa. I really just am looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a hit in the nostalgia. I'm hoping that it's going to be great. I'm a little worried about the de-aging stuff that I've been hearing. Every single film that I've seen de-aging in, whether it be Tony Stark in Civil War or when they brought back Tarkin, was that his name, in Star Wars? It's noticeable. I think that in time they might be able to get the de-aging thing figured out. Even in Aquaman, there was a scene with de-aging that was pretty distracting. So Scorsese likes to do dark, gritty crime dramas. I just hope that it doesn't cut to a scene with a 20-something Robert De Niro and it just looks ridiculous. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But I trust Martin Scorsese. I trust Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. They're some of the all-time greatest actors that we've had.
Another interesting aspect of this is the fact that it's being released through Netflix, because essentially, I think a lot of people would say that the two greatest, you know, directors of our time, possibly ever, are Spielberg and Scorsese. And having Scorsese say, "Yeah, I'm going to release this film," and it's not just any film; it's a film that he's been working on making for years, and that includes, you know, like you said, the people that he's worked with plenty of times throughout the years, who are, you know, his really good kind of, he's just got a, it's the same group of actors that he's been working with for years, and I think it's got a lot of potential, and it could help move things a lot when it comes towards everything with Netflix and distribution through streaming sites and everything like that. I think this is a huge step forward. So
yeah, Netflix has been making moves, definitely. They've invested a lot in bringing big-time actors, trying to have films that can be considered Oscar-worthy. They've had a couple blunders. Will Smith's latest film, Bright, was widely viewed as a misstep, but, you know, the fact that
they greenlit a sequel.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I think that Irishman is going to be a step in the right direction, 100%.
Yeah. Speaking of Scorsese, Scorsese is producing a Joker film for DC and Warner Brothers that is coming out in October. And we're both really excited for this film. It's not at all connected to the DC Extended Universe with Justice League and Suicide Squad and all that. It's a just solo film featuring the origin story of the Joker. It's being directed by Todd Phillips, who did The Hangover, and stars Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. And at first I was a little nervous about Joaquin Phoenix playing him, but then they released that teaser on Instagram, and at the very end of it, there's this moment where he switches from smiling to like this eyebrow lift and a just straight face, and I was like, okay, I see it. I get it.
Oh, I wasn't worried about Joaquin Phoenix at all. He wouldn't be my first pick, but I tell you what, if I can't have my Willem Dafoe, that would be my dream casting as Joker. Or even Crispin Glover, I think, could do a good job in that. I'll take me some Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. If any of you have seen the film The Master, it's pretty believable to me that he can play a character who can easily just lose his mind on a flip. Overall, The Master, I did not care for that film, but his performance was incredible. I definitely think that Joaquin Phoenix has the chops to take on this role. And we've seen him really commit to a character in the past. He did that film about 10 years ago. I Am Not Here, I think it was, where he played a disgruntled, like, retiring rapper or something like that. But I remember there was a scene where he went on David Letterman completely in character, and he made David Letterman unable to continue the interview. He couldn't figure out how to work with him. It was pretty cool to watch. You should check that out on YouTube. But yeah, the Joker, my only concern with this is DC's kind of taking a gamble here, because if this film does really well, like we're hoping it will.
Yeah.
What does that do to their overall universe? Because like you said, this is a separate film and they don't intend to make a sequel.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with there being separate films with the same characters. I mean,
do you think the overall general public, who maybe don't go see as many films as you and I do, who might see two or three superhero or supervillain, I should say, in this case, films like that in a year, do you think it's going to confuse people?
I don't think so. I think people will be able to separate it, especially if you take into account the fact that there's the ability to, you know, say, obviously the Joaquin Phoenix Joker is visually different from the Jared Leto Joker.
Sure.
And so I think that's going to be a big thing that helps. I think another thing is, I think people are willing to understand all that, you know, the separation stuff. I mean, you have the TV show Flash, and, you know, with the Arrowverse stuff on CW. Then you have the Flash in Justice League and all of that, and there's that difference there.
Sure, those are different mediums, though. I mean, you're going from television to film, so...
But it's the same fan base.
Yeah. Either way, I'm hoping that the Joker blows me away. He's probably one of my favorite villains. I've enjoyed just about every incarnation of him, except for Jared Leto, so... yeah, really looking forward to the Joker.
Yeah, as probably the world's biggest Batman fan, I'm incredibly excited about that film, so...
So, we're getting down towards the end of our list here. We've got three more films we want to talk about with you. We've got Star Wars Episode 9 coming up next. That's coming out in December, as Star Wars always does. It's being directed by J.J. Abrams this time, and according to the tagline on IMDb, it's going to tie up the Skywalker saga. So, we'll just have to see how they move forward after Rian Johnson's very divisive Episode 8. Both Alex and I really enjoyed Episode 8, but
oh, yeah.
We have friends who didn't really care for it. And
including Eric Brockett, who regularly writes for the site.
Yeah, and that was the nature of the film. I don't think there were many people that were just like, okay, that was okay, that was pretty good. It was either that was great or that was awful. I honestly thought that film was my favorite Star Wars film. I'm willing to go as far as to say that I thought it was leaps and bounds better than Episode 7, and some of the stuff they did with Luke was great.
I think it's probably my top three. It's been my top three.
Yeah. And it didn't have the big eyeball monster that ran amok in Han Solo's ship from Episode 7, so that right there qualifies it as being the better film. So we'll see what happens in Episode 9. It's J.J. Abrams, and he loves his lens flares, so I'm calling it right now. At some point in this film, there will be a lens flare during a lightsaber battle, folks.
Yeah, probably. But either way, I'm excited for it, and I think there's a lot of questioning of what Disney's going to do with Star Wars moving forward. There are a few different spin-off trilogies that they're working on, with one with Rian Johnson and one with the guys behind Game of Thrones. But even though that stuff is in development right now and they haven't really begun serious work on it, Disney doesn't have any set plans for a Star Wars film. We had an exclusive a couple weeks back where we talked about the official, these are the movies that Disney is releasing over the next 4 years or so. Nothing Star Wars is on that list. And that's not talking about, like, hey, this is what might come out or anything. Disney is not planning on releasing another Star Wars film over the course of the next 4 years. And that's pretty big. Like, to say, hey, we're going to release one every year, and then say, no, we're stopping for the next 4 years because we don't know what to do past Episode 9, I think that's huge. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out and what Disney decides to do moving forward after it.
I think that's the right move to make. You don't want to get oversaturated. I mean, what was the time gap between the original films and the prequels that came out, like 20 years, 15 years, something like that?
Yeah.
And then from the prequels to Episode 7, it was, what, another 10 years, something like that?
Yeah.
So you kept fans hungry for new content. You know, there are video games that come out, like Call of Duty, that just every year it's a carbon copy of the one before it with maybe a new gun or some wall jumping. And, you know, as a fan of Star Wars, I don't want to get to the point where I'm not looking forward to seeing the next one, or I'm not as excited. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there who are getting to that point right now where, you know, this movie's coming out. They're looking forward to it. It's still going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's tying up that saga. But, you know, I think this is the right call to have them take a break.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how things move forward with it. But speaking of moving forward, our second to last movie on our list is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the next film from Quentin Tarantino. This is his 9th film, and he has said he is only going to direct 10 films. He has done a few other small things, from Sin City to a few other projects on TV, but when it comes to major feature films, this is number 9, and
well, we should say it's the 9th when you don't take into account sequels.
Yeah, because he does count Kill Bill as one film, even though it was 2. But on his list, this is number 9. So we're nearing the end, and Tarantino has always been an amazing director. He does, you know, there are a few things that he does have issues with, but it's still, whenever he releases a film, you can't deny that he does something that it's hard for a lot of other directors to do. He's able to work really well with ensembles, too, and he's got a great cast for this one. It's led by Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt as an actor and his stunt double from an old TV show, who are looking to reclaim their fame right during the time of the Manson murders. And so you've got this very specific, you know, age of Hollywood and everything that you're looking at. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this all comes together.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Tarantino. Pulp Fiction is definitely in my top 10 list of all-time favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I recently watched Hateful Eight. It's on Netflix now. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend, be warned, it is a long one. It's about 3 hours long. It's a Western-type film, and I know that film was kind of mixed received. Some people liked it. Some people thought it was a little slow. It is a little slow. It's definitely not his best film, but I still liked it a lot. It's got some of his reoccurring actors in there. You got Samuel L. Jackson.
Kurt Russell's in it.
Kurt Russell's in it, but what's the Italian guy that's in Reservoir Dogs? Oh, maybe it is Michael Madsen.
Yeah. Channing Tatum's in it for a bit. It's just a great cast. Bruce Dern's in it. Tim Roth's in it.
Yeah, Tim Roth. Tarantino is a big fan of using actors that he's worked with in the past, similar to Scorsese. So you can definitely feel chemistry, not only between the actors in his prior works, but you can also find chemistry in terms of director to actor and that relationship.
And it's one of those things where, like, when a director has worked with an actor for so long, you start to see that there's things that they're just able to pull out from an actor and get them to achieve on screen in a good way. And I think Tarantino's really great at that. And Scorsese is too. And obviously, I mean, you look at everybody that he's worked with and worked with repeatedly, and why he's such a great director and everything, and it's going to be an amazing film, and I'm pumped.
Yeah, I love me some Tarantino. He's mostly had hits with the films that he's directed. I'm looking at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm intrigued. It's a sad world when Brad Pitt is reduced to a stunt double. How's a guy like me supposed to break into Hollywood? It's really not fair anymore. I'm curious to see how integral the Manson murders are, if they're going to be just like a presence that's going to be in the background of the film, or if somehow these two, this actor and stunt double, get entwined in the controversy of all of that. And last on our list, folks, I think you know what it's going to be. It's probably a lot of people's most anticipated film of 2019. Avengers Endgame. Yes, that's it. This is going to be the 22nd installment in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What an incredible feat, honestly. I mean, who would have thought that you could start in 2008 with Tony Stark's Iron Man, a Marvel character that a lot of people probably had never heard of before then.
Yeah.
And it just ballooned into such a huge success. What other franchise in history has done this?
Nothing.
No.
It will forever be known as one of the biggest franchises of all time, possibly the biggest, more films that have crossed the $1 billion mark than really any other franchise before you, at least before you, and just for inflation. But it's still just, it's amazing. And no one's ever done this where you've connected different movie series before. And then on top of, like, connecting different series to create the Avengers, then you also have the Guardians on top of it. And it's just, there's so much that they've done, and it's all been amazing. And to do it first with Infinity War, and then again with Endgame.
And honestly, Marvel has done it the right way, and that's the reason they've had this longevity, is they've taken their time, they develop characters. They've really done what DC has not. DC tried to catch up with Marvel and pump out a Justice League movie, a Batman v Superman, before they had earned the right to have those characters meet.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when you look at the 20, right now we're at 20 films, correct? We're going to have Captain Marvel's 21, Endgame's going to be 22. Out of those films, I can only think of three, maybe four films that aren't solid films.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just incredible. That cliffhanger, like we talked about earlier with the Spider-Man portion of our most anticipated films of 2019, it's going to really be just a fantastic way to tie up the Infinity Gauntlet storyline from the comics. The film has already taken some liberties in Infinity War, changing up the character of Thanos, making him a little bit more, I don't want to say sympathetic by any means.
But making him work a lot better for this version of the story, and just making him somebody that you want to sit there and you do enjoy watching him for the 2.5 hours that the movie goes on. And obviously, you know, you don't want him to win because you want the Avengers to win, but he's a lot like Loki in that you don't mind seeing him destroy things.
Well, I mean, it's just a big criticism that Infinity War got was that there wasn't enough time for the 20-plus superheroes to develop their characters. There was a couple that got a lot of screen time.
But I think everybody at least had one or two moments.
Sure. Well, I don't know about everybody. There were a couple people. I mean, Hawkeye wasn't even in the film.
That's true.
So, and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So, but the point is, yes, those characters didn't get a big through line in Infinity War, but that's because we've already gotten that from them. This was a collaboration. This was Thanos' movie. He's the one that had the through line. He starts the film as this mad titan, for lack of a better word, who just has no mercy, and at the end he gets what he wants, but there's that line between him and baby Gamora. Did you get what you wanted? Yes. What did it cost? Everything. So yeah. I think we're going to really see the impact of the snap, not just on the remaining people on Earth and throughout the galaxy, but on Thanos. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they tie all this together. You know these characters are coming back. They're not going to kill off Black Panther. The film made so much money. They're not going to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah, there's a Spider-Man.
We talked about a sequel that's coming out. There's Guardians of the Galaxy that are going to be coming up in the future. So,
but then on the flip side of it, you know, there's a good chance this is the last movie with Tony and with Cap and possibly with Thor. And, you know, there's a chance that this is the last time we see at least all the original Avengers together. And I think that's important. I think that's, you know, it goes into the whole, if they're the Avengers, they have to avenge something. Like Tony Stark told Loki in the very first Avengers film, if we can't save the world, we're sure as hell going to avenge it. And I think, you know, finally seeing them essentially do that is, I'm really pumped for that.
You know what else he told Loki? We have a Hulk. So I'm hoping that this film has a little bit more Hulk. Man, Hulk got a, you know, he had a rough time in that first one. He spent 5 minutes getting his butt kicked by Thanos, and then we never saw him again. So there's a lot that I want to see.
I like what they're doing with that storyline, though, between Hulk and Banner and everything that was kind of started in Ragnarok and stuff. And I'm interested to see where they end that on Endgame. So
yeah, I mean, Avengers Endgame, definitely looking forward to that. I think it's going to make all the money.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that could end up making $2 billion.
It could break the record for highest grossing film of all time. You know, just for inflation. I really do. There's so much culmination that this has led to, and it's
Yeah, because, I mean, no matter what, we know the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to keep going, and they're going to do more films with Spider-Man and Black Panther and Captain Marvel and the Guardians and Doctor Strange, but it's still, there's, this isn't the last, this is probably going to be the last one where you get to see Tony Stark, Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., and, you know, Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, Captain America, on screen together, and at least those two. And seeing those two and the rest of the team together on screen, it's just, it's something else. And it's crazy to think that this is all going to be over after only 10 years, at least this chapter of it, but I'm looking forward to it. This feels like a, like almost a Return of the Jedi moment for our generation, a final chapter in this storyline. And yeah, there can, there will be more and there can be more, but this is going to be huge.
How awesome would it be if in an end credit scene, you hear the iconic snick and you just see the clawed hand of Wolverine?
That, or just somebody says Logan. We know that Hawkeye, based on that first trailer, that Hawkeye is supposed to be in Japan. And if the name Logan appears at all in any of that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. It'd be a great way to introduce the expansion of the X-Men into the universe as well without really giving anything away. I think that could really get fans enticed for the future. So that's our list for 2019. This certainly isn't the complete list of films that we're looking forward to, but these are the big ones that we're really looking forward to, and we'll be here with you this year, Lancaster. We'll continue to pump out content. I'm hoping, as he alluded to in the beginning, that this is just the first of many podcasts.
I'm sure it will be.
We've got a lot of cool ideas.
It's going to be a big year this year for Poor Man Spoiler. We have things planned for the entire year. We're going to be covering every single one of these films, and we're really excited. We've got a lot of great stuff for you guys. We hope that you enjoyed listening to us and ramble on and everything, and we'll have more for you sometime soon. For now, this has been Alex Lancaster
and Chad Teague.
Thanks for listening.
Good night. Good day.